The Honorable Chief Justice and Justices of the Supreme Court of Ohio. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. The Honorable Supreme Court of Ohio is now in open session pursuant to adjournment.
You may be seated.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. You will notice today that one Justice, Yvette McGee Brown, is not joining us physically this morning, but thanks to technology, she will be with us. And we will proceed with our first case, 11-0107, In Re JV. For the appellant, Mr. Sweeney.
Thank you. Chief Justice O'Connor, and may it please the court, Cullen Sweeney from the Cuyahoga County Public Defender's Office, representing JV. I'd like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal. This case involves two separate and distinct issues. The first is whether or not the process for invoking the adult portion of an SYO, or serious youthful offender sentence, is constitutional. And the second is a jurisdictional question on whether or not the juvenile court has the authority to impose punishment upon a juvenile after the age of 21.
Counsel, this was a agreed-upon plea, was it not?
It was a plea and an agreed disposition.
Okay, so your client agreed to the status of a serious youthful offender?
Yes, he stipulated to it.
And the only thing that was really missing from the sentence was the post-release control provision, correct?
At the initial stage, at the first stage of the SYO proceeding, that's correct.
Okay.
And so, briefly, I want to address the jurisdictional question, then I'll go back to the SYO issue. And that's because I think it's a little bit more straightforward. Here, procedurally, JV was... received his initial disposition from the SYO proceeding, the first stage, where he received a juvenile disposition and a state adult sentence. At some point in time, that sentence was invoked, and he appealed that just before he turned 21.
Are you challenging that statutory mechanism to sentence juveniles in this case?
The invocation statute?
Well, you said he received a juvenile portion and an adult portion, I thought.
Yes.
Are you challenging that statutory mechanism for sentencing juveniles in this case?
To be clear, there are two stages to an SYO proceeding.
Yes.
The first one involves the juvenile disposition and the state adult sentence.
Yes.
That is not being challenged in this case.
Okay.
The only portion that's being challenged and the only constitutional question arises with the second stage, the invocation of that adult sentence that sends the juvenile to prison. That's the portion of the statute, 2152.14. That statute is what we're challenging in this case.
Well, under juvenile sentencing reform, for a very great period of time, the legislature wrestled with the Sentencing Commission to bring this blended sentencing system into enactment so that it could be effective all over our state. Before that, juvenile court judges regularly bound over to the adult court, common pleas courts all over Ohio, for prosecution as an adult, individuals who were maybe 16 or 17 or 18 years old. So isn't the effect of what you're arguing that we go back to bindovers in these cases?
No, the effect of what I'm arguing is that in order to employ the SYO procedure, it has to be done so constitutionally. If the General Assembly decides they want to have an SYO procedure...
Well, how would it have been done constitutionally in this instance, or are you arguing it cannot be done constitutionally in
not
this instance?
Not as the statute presently stands, no.
But you want us to declare the statute unconstitutional?
Yes.
And doesn't that put us back to having juveniles bound over to the common pleas court for prosecution as adults, and then they can be incarcerated for much longer periods of time.
Well, not for longer periods of time. But as it stands now, the bindover statute still exists. If this court strikes down the SYO statute and the legislature thinks the SYO statute still has merit, all it would have to do to render it constitutional is provide the necessary jury trial on the determination of whether or not the adult sentence should be invoked.
So, counsel, are you asking for a second proceeding once a violation has been identified that would trigger the adult portion and raise the burden of proof to beyond a reasonable doubt and also have a jury trial at that point?
Correct.
That's what you would like to see.
And to be clear, there are two proceedings as things stand now. The second proceeding is a determination completely distinct from the first proceeding. And as this court said in State versus DH, the acts that lead to the SYO disposition are insufficient to send the juvenile to adult prison. What has to happen is sometime while they're serving their juvenile disposition, they have to commit or allegedly to commit a future act of misconduct. It's that future act of misconduct, along with determining the juvenile is no longer amenable to juvenile court.
So are you going to bring jury trials into the juvenile court now on the issue for those who are over the age of 21, or are you going to conduct these trials in the common pleas court?
Well, the juries are already in the juvenile courts in the SYO proceedings in the first stage.
Yes.
They already have a right there. The question is, should they have a right at the second stage to have a jury determination of whether or not they committed an act of misconduct that justifies the imposition of an adult prison sentence?
Well, counsel, how different is that from a parole violation or a probation violation that triggers the imposition of actual jail time for an adult when there's no jury that's impaneled at that point in a proceeding?
It's different for three reasons. The first is with respect to a probation determination. When an adult court sentences someone to probation rather than prison, at that point in time, the determination that was made by the jury or the plea by the adult was sufficient to send the person to prison at that time, but through an act of grace, the judge decided to send him to probation. Here, for a juvenile in an SYO proceeding, the original delinquency adjudication or plea is not by itself sufficient to send him to adult prison.
Well, what about a violation of community control for someone who is in prison, released, they're on...
Post-release control violation.
Post-release control, yeah.
That's different, again, for two reasons. Number one, for a juvenile in an SYO proceeding, they have not yet faced the prospect of punishment. When they originally get their disposition, they get a juvenile disposition, and they're kept in the juvenile court. And as we've discussed, as has been held in a number of cases, that is rehabilitation. That is not punishment. But the decision to invoke the adult sentence takes them out of that into punishment.
Also,
with a post-release
You were going with three.
Yes.
Would you go back to that?
Okay. The first is that with probation violations, with a probation determination, the adult court could sentence them to prison based simply on the original conduct. And that's not true for the SYO. The second is for post-release control and supervised release violations, the adult has already been punished. The supervised release and it's the consequence of violating it is part of the punishment of the original sentence. And the original admission or verdict authorized that punishment. In this case, where a juvenile admits to or is adjudicated delinquent, punishment is not authorized at that phase. The only thing that's authorized is rehabilitation. It's only if there's future misconduct that punishment and the transfer of the juvenile from juvenile facility, juvenile court, juvenile jurisdiction to adult court. And that makes it fundamentally different.
But counsel, the triggering of your second point, a violation is by future conduct of an adult.
Yes, but the point is there, when the reason that supervised release is punishment for the original crime. It's not punishment for the future misconduct. Okay, so that
but
person
you can have punishment for future conduct in the adult system if you commit another crime that triggers the revocation of your community control, and you're also answerable for the consequences of the crime that triggered the violation.
But the point is, at the post-release control violation hearing, when you go back, when they send you back to prison for that, the punishment is related to your original misconduct, and you could be separately prosecuted for that conduct. You could, new charges could be brought against.
Isn't that what the adult sentence is for? Is for the original conduct?
Yes.
They're sentenced to a juvenile detention and an adult sentence, and the adult sentence is stayed, but then future conduct invokes the punishment for the original conduct, doesn't it not?
Yes, it does to some extent. But the difference is that the original conduct does not authorize punishment. When a juvenile in the first stage of the proceeding is adjudicated delinquent, he or she has not yet been punished at all for a crime. The only way a juvenile can be punished is if they commit that original misconduct plus future misconduct.
But they would never have gotten that original adult portion of the sentence but for the original crime. There's been no jurisdiction to give them an adult portion of the sentence. What you're saying is instead of a bind over, we're going to do this blended sentence and give you another shot at rehab. And it's not, and you would never have gotten the adult portion if you hadn't committed the original crime. The judge would have no authority to give it, would he? Or she?
By the adult portion, you mean the stayed
right.
Adult portion, yes.
If you had not committed the original crime as a juvenile, and you're entitled to a jury at that point for the blended sentence, correct?
Yes.
The judge could never have given you a stayed adult portion if you had not committed the original.
Sure.
So when it's like post-conviction relief. You go post-conviction, you come out, you're on post-conviction status, you commit another crime, you get an extra amount of time added on, the 3 to 5 years. I don't see the difference.
Respectfully, it isn't the same. The difference is you have a juvenile who, absent this judicial determination, would not be in adult prison and would not have an adult conviction. With a PRC violation that is described as the Attorney General as a run-of-the-mill hearing where you're simply imposing an additional sanction upon an adult who's already been punished as an adult.
And in the juvenile case, you're imposing the original sentence because of the future infraction, like you revoke probation or a post-conviction or PRC. You have the original sentence already in place. It's just stayed.
Respectfully, I disagree. I mean, in order for a juvenile to get an adult conviction as an SYO offender, two determinations have to be made. First, there was an original misconduct that led to the first stage of the SYO proceeding with the stayed adult sentence. Second, that the juvenile committed a second act of misconduct.
Just like you have to have a probation hearing or a PRC revocation hearing. You cannot automatically say, oh, you revoked your probation or your PRC. We're going to put you in prison. No hearing. You have to have a hearing.
The difference is, again, in order for a juvenile, the adult in a PRC or a probation violation context has already been convicted and already been sentenced in an adult court. The juvenile, on the other hand, has been placed in the juvenile court, is subject only to rehabilitation, and that judicial fact-finding gives him or her an adult conviction, an adult prison. It's apples and oranges comparison.
Counsel, isn't the crux of your argument that we're talking about a hybrid situation here? You keep emphasizing the DYS commitment is rehabilitation, but in effect, I mean, what you're talking about here is to allow not just the jury trial at the SYO initial phase, but you want to have the jury involved in the second phase, which would be the invocation of the stayed adult portion. Is that right?
That is correct. And in fact, the reason this court did not strike down the SYO statute in DH is because it said the first phase is simply rehabilitation. until the juvenile actually faces the invocation of the adult sentence, they're a juvenile, and they're being subjected to rehabilitation and not punishment. And when you subject a juvenile or an adult or anyone to the prospect of punishment, any facts that are necessary to result in that punishment have to be found by a jury.
So the whole point is that we have said in the past that a commitment to DYS is rehabilitation and not punishment.
Correct.
I mean, that's kind of a legal fiction in a way. And here, when you talk about the equal protection argument, just as the other justices were saying, an adult does not have the right to a jury determination when there is an imposition of, you know, the post-release control or an imposition of the community control violation. That seems to be the weakest part.
And that's because the adult has already been convicted of a crime, whereas the SYO juvenile has not, and the adult has already been punished for that crime, whereas the SYO juvenile has not.
So it's a matter of semantics. We talk about an adjudication in the juvenile court. We talk about a conviction in the adult court. But
well, I would say it's more than semantics, unless we're going to throw out the notion that juveniles are not receiving rehabilitation, are receiving punishment.
Isn't that part of your argument in the brief that you filed with us?
Well, I would say that they are in the process of being rehabilitated. And it's only when they're transferred to adult court that they are being punished. One of the things we say in the brief is that rehabilitation has been inadequate. And, you know, we raise examples of how the facilities are under a statewide class action for unconstitutional conditions of confinement. So there is a failure of the juvenile court system. But the bottom line is we still proceed under the assumption that it's rehabilitation. If you're going to send a juvenile to adult prison, they have a right to a jury determination of all the facts that are necessary to get them there. That's the fundamental crux of our argument. And I see my time has expired, so, you know, ask that this court would reverse the determination. And we didn't get to the jurisdictional question, but the court was without jurisdiction. When it imposed invoked the adult sentence, JV was over the age of 21. There's not a single statutory provision that the state cites to that gives it any authority to invoke the adult sentence after the age of 21. And this court has made clear that in Revised Code 2152.02c6, that jurisdiction ceases at the age of 21. Well, when this sentence was
even
invoked,
though the action commenced before he turned 21.
Correct. And this case is distinguishable from State X Rel in re Cross or State X Rel versus Cross, because in that case the adjudication on the complaint occurred after the age of 18. And so that took it out of this provision, C6. But for JV circumstance, the adjudication on the complaint occurred before he was 18, and this court has never recognized, nor any court that other than this one, that
18 or 21. What do you
Before 18.
Okay.
So when you're adjudicated delinquent prior to the age of 18, 2152.02c6 says a juvenile court has jurisdiction until the age of 21. Right. In this case, when the case came back and had been declared void by the adult, by the 8th District, JV was 21. At that point in time, the juvenile court lacked jurisdiction to do anything with the case, let alone invoke the adult sentence and impose post-release control.
So is part of your theory here that once the once he had to be resentenced, and they resentenced him and included the post-release control, that was a brand-new sentence, and they imposed that brand-new sentence when he was beyond 21?
Yes.
And so, therefore, he's really not, in your mind or your theory, to follow it to its logical conclusion, he didn't have a valid sentence at that point.
Correct.
And they can't cure that after the age of 21.
That's correct. And it's clear that the 8th District, when it vacated the sentence, declared it void. Moreover, it's clear when it went back to the trial court after he was 21, the trial court actually conducted both stages of the SYO proceeding and invoked the sentence
He was no longer under the jurisdiction for the potential of rehabilitation or amenability.
Right. He was not, and he was well over 21 at that point in time. Thank you.
Ms. Sobieski. If you would, I'd like you to focus the first part of your argument on this issue of the age problem.
Yes, good morning, Chief Justice O'Connor and Justice Kristen Sobieski from the Cuyahoga County Prosecutors on behalf of the State of Ohio. With regard to that jurisdictional argument, this case was the reason that the juvenile court still had jurisdiction to correct the post-release control advisement is because the case was still active through JV's appeal. Because he had appealed that sentence to the 8th District, and they found that the adult portion was void for that lack of the post-release control advisement, the juvenile court had no choice but to comply with that order of remand and make that a valid sentence.
And how old was he at that point?
He had turned 21 while the appeal was pending.
Okay, so when the appellate court remanded it to the juvenile court, he was 21.
He was 21 years of age.
In fact, when they got around to invoking the sentence, was he 22?
That was... The hearing on the state's motion to invoke had occurred prior. There was the hearing and the evidence was received that the adult sentence was invoked and imposed at that time. He was transferred to the adult facility. There was an appeal at that point. That appeal goes up. That was JV2. That goes to the 8th District Court of Appeals. That's where we find out, well, there's no post-release control. We have to send this back. Mm-hmm. When it went back to the juvenile court didn't have a rehearing on the state's motion to invoke. That evidence had already been submitted. The 8th District had not reviewed any of those findings. It just sent it back for the post-release control advisement. So the juvenile court at that time only handled the post-release control advisement.
Is that
advisement.
All they sentenced him? They added on the post-release control.
Correct.
They
that
didn't
is correct.
Resentence as part of that order the first
there
part?
There was no rehearing on the motion to invoke. The juvenile court found those findings that I have already made based on the evidence that was already submitted, those still stand. Those have not been vacated by the Court of Appeals. This remand is for the limited purpose of the post-release control. That was put into place at that final hearing in the juvenile court. Then again, JV appeals to the 8th District Court of Appeals. This time, the Court of Appeals affirms the invoking that adult portion of the sentence. Now he raises the fact that, well, by the time it got back to the juvenile court for that limited post-release control advisement, he had turned 21. However, the juvenile court had to comply with that remand from the 8th District Court of Appeals and make that a valid sentence in terms of adding the post-release control.
Counsel, does the statute say that that's the case? I mean, when you look at 2152.02c6, it seems very specific that there's jurisdiction before attaining 18 until the person attains 21.
Yes.
It doesn't say anything about pending appeal or if an appeal is pending the jurisdiction continues. Where do you get that authority? Where do you get the authority to say this?
The supplemental authority, the case that the state has filed, that state ex rel NA versus Cross, we get guidance from that case. Now, that was a writ of prohibition case in this court, but it does stand for this proposition that the juvenile court may, in some circumstances, have a continuing jurisdiction over a person past the age of 21. Because in that case, it was a trial that started before age 21. And was continued to a date that was past the 21st birthday. This court held that that was okay. The juvenile court.
But there was no disposition of that case at the time. It was for activity pre-18, right?
Yes.
And he was caught or whatever. He was over 18. He had the benefit of the juvenile court's initial proceedings. And then he turned 21 during that trial scenario, correct?
That's correct.
That's very different than what we have here.
It is correct that there is no adjudication. However, this case, the The 8th District Court of Appeals and a lower court had to comply with this court's order in Fisher, which is that the post-release control component of an adult criminal sentence is mandatory and it must be imposed. And a remand must be had in order to make that a fully valid sentence.
And when you remand and add post-release control, does that create a brand new sentence, or does that relate back to the original sentence where you failed to add it and you have to correct the original sentence?
Under Fisher, we know that when we have these remands, we're going back only to fix that limited portion that is void. We don't have a de novo.
That limited portion should have been added to the original sentence, so when the court makes the correction, doesn't that become part of the original sentence? It's not a new sentence imposed by a judge for anything new. It's a correction of a sentence that actually occurred before he turned 21.
And of course, we treat that as it is, you know, the juvenile has been committed that time. It's not as if he doesn't get credit for being committed at that time because there was an error in that sentencing. No, of course not. We treat it as if this is the correction.
Fisher in place at this remand?
It was not.
Okay, so what was the status of the law at the time?
It was prior to Fisher, so, and I believe, I can't recall if 191 was in place. The order of remand from the 8th District Court of Appeals was very clear that the hearing on the remand was limited to the post-release control advisement. That's what the 8th District's order was. That's what the juvenile court was very clear about when the hearing was had, that the court was only going to be addressing.
And that was pursuant to statute in that order?
Yes. I'm sorry, it's pursued to post-release control was required as part of the adult sentence.
Right.
So yes, pursuant
but the
to the
fact that it was sent back only for the purposes of adding post-release control
was
part of the amended statute directive?
That was the directive that the 8th District gave to the juvenile court.
What did the 8th District use for their authority?
I don't believe that it was specifically under 191, it was the fact that the sentence lacked post-release control, and the remand is juvenile court, you must impose post-release control as a part of this adult sentence. That was the order of remand.
Counsel, Mr. Sweeney argued that they said the sentence was void. I'm not finding that in the Court of Appeals opinion. Do you recall?
In that JV2 opinion?
Yeah.
No. The discussion of that case was simply this advisement of post-release control. The court never went to address the other assignments of error, which were all about invoking the adult portion of the sentence. The only concern at that time of the Court of Appeals is we cannot fully examine this case because the post-release control component is missing. We're sending it back to add that component, period. That was the order of remand, and that's what happened.
And they didn't use the term void, as you recall.
No. With regard to this, the statute that we're here to review this morning is 2152.14. The state is asking that this court find that to be a constitutional provision. It is very important that juvenile court system has these serious youthful offender specifications and this blended sentence option for certain offenders in order to achieve its important goals, those rehabilitative goals. If this particular statute is struck down today, we do go back to that system of strictly a prosecution in the adult criminal court or strictly in the juvenile court proceedings. There is a benefit to these juveniles to have this intermediate option and the ability to have a blended sentence. It is a constitutional statute. It does not implicate the right to a jury trial. And there is no reason for there to be proof beyond a reasonable doubt. The standard is clear in the statute. It should be clear in convincing evidence. And that is what the state put forth in this case.
Counsel, would you address the Blakely and Apprendi concerns that the appellant has here? In other words, the jury not making any findings before the individual adult sentence portion is imposed.
The law of those cases is not implicated here and in this process. This is the part of the adjudication phase of the of the juvenile's, there's the disposition and the adjudication. This court in DH said, yes, there is a limited jury trial right in terms of the disposition. Did this juvenile commit these acts? However, drew a line and said, when it comes to the adjudication and the imposition of a blended sentence, that is a function solely of the juvenile court judge.
But doesn't the judge have to make certain findings before there is an imposition of a prison sentence that was stayed?
Yes. That is correct, Your Honor. And in Re DH, this court, that gives a lot of guidance to us here today. That was a discretionary SYO sentence. The juvenile court in that case had discretion to determine whether a blended sentence was appropriate or not. Now, there were certain findings that court had to make before they could impose a blended sentence in that case because it was discretionary. This court looked at those findings, which include the age and seriousness of the offenses, and said those are permissible for a juvenile court to assess and then determine that a blended sentence is necessary. Taking that same rationale, that same reasoning, and applying it later on when there's been some conduct committed in the juvenile correctional facility that justifies invoking the adult sentence, there are some findings. These are not impermissible judicial fact-finding as discussed in Foster and Blakely and Apprendi before that. These are exactly like the kind of situation where you have a suspended adult prison term because a person is put on post-release control, on community control sanctions. When that happens in an adult court, the court cannot invoke that suspended adult sentence for any reason at all. There has to be some additional conduct, some violation of the conditions that justifies invoking it. No right to jury trial there. Same should apply in this proceeding in the juvenile court. The adult sentence is suspended. There may be some conduct. It is up to that juvenile court judge to determine whether the conduct occurred, whether the statute was met, and whether that adult sentence is needed in a particular case. This is not a function of the jury in terms of fact-finding. It should be left to the expertise of the juvenile judge.
Counsel, in response to a question earlier, page 2 of the appellate opinion, it says, in Re JV, we determined that the sentence was void on account of the juvenile court's failure to advise JV of the mandatory 5 years of post-release control associated with adult proportion of his sentence and failure to include post-release control in the journal entry.
There's the word void. The remand in that case is very clear that it's the post-release control component that was required to be corrected in the juvenile court. I apologize, I didn't.
The matter was remanded to the juvenile court for a new hearing.
Yes.
Sentencing hearing.
In other words, a post-release control cannot be corrected just via an entry. That must be a hearing before the court.
And you're saying that the hearing was limited only to post-release control when the court, the 8th District, declares this a void sentence?
The court restates its sentence. The court restates at this juvenile court proceeding, the court restates what the adult sentence is. It also adds the post-release control component of that sentence. In other words, they don't just walk in and they say, you also have post-release control. No, at the sentence, the 2 years for the felonious assault in 2003.
How old was JV when that happened?
The felonious assault was when he was...
No, with the resentencing. From this declaration of voidness, how old was JV when...
JV did not turn 21. I apologize, Your Honor. I'm between the remand from the 8th District Court of Appeals to the hearing...
The hearing was February 12th, 2010.
And he turned 21 in March. His birthday is in March, Your Honor.
March of?
Of 88. Of 1988.
Okay. So he was actually almost 22 when he was resentenced.
When he was resentenced. That is correct, Your Honor. That is correct. He had turned 21 during the pendency of that prior appeal.
What are you asking us to do in this case, Ms. Sobieski, if you should prevail? You want us to declare it? I suppose you could agree with Mr. Sweeney, and then we'd all have adult bindovers in all these cases. Would that be an advantage to your client, to the prosecutors?
No, Your Honor. We're asking that this statute be found constitutional. This is... it is to the benefit of juveniles and the juvenile court system to have a serious youthful offender option and this blended sentence option. The state is not asking that this be struck down. This is a very useful tool. This particular juvenile would have been bound over for an adult criminal trial if this serious youthful offender option was not available to him.
Does the juvenile court regularly adjudicate claims of those over the age of 21, in your experience?
No. The juvenile court does not regularly decide claims of those who are over 21. This case is different because that adult portion of the sentence obviously extends beyond that 21st birthday. The juvenile court,
there must be others that also extend beyond the
well, certainly any other serious youthful offender where there's an adult sentence that is still hanging over the person past the 21st birthday. Those are any issues that would come up with those would have to be litigated in the juvenile court, just as this
resentencing. So they regularly do this?
Yes, I. It's not a common, as the court is well aware, these sentences aren't invoked all that often. However, in those limited circumstances, there are circumstances where a juvenile court has jurisdiction beyond the age of 21, and that N.A. versus Cross is an example of it.
What did you say?
The additional authority that the state filed, that state ex rel N.A. versus Cross,
yes.
That is an example. To say that it's regularly, no, typically the 21 is the cutoff for the juvenile court's jurisdiction. But yes, there are instances where it extends beyond that 21st birthday.
So the fact that this was remanded from the 8th District Court of Appeals really isn't the basis to extend the jurisdiction of the juvenile court beyond the age of 21.
The fact that it was remanded?
Yeah, that's not the basis of that you're
saying. The fact that because it was remanded because this adult sentence is something that the juvenile court is determining is proper and should be imposed.
I understand
it's because
that.
What
I'm trying to have you address is the fact that the juvenile court entertains cases of those over the age of 21, not all of which are remanded from an appellate court.
Right.
So the basis of the juvenile court entertaining those instances is what? That's what I'm trying to get you to discuss with us. How does the juvenile court get its jurisdiction for one over the age of 21?
The serious youthful offender statutes allow a juvenile court to impose this adult sentence, which will clearly go beyond a juvenile's 20. It is for the purpose of going beyond a juvenile's 21st birthday. That is why these statutes exist.
Your view
exist.
Is it was contemplated by the General Assembly, but not specifically authorized jurisdiction beyond that age.
It certainly is contemplated by the General Assembly by enacting these statutes and allowing the juvenile court to manage a sentence that goes beyond a juvenile's 21st birthday.
If there's a problem with the adult portion of an SYO sentence, when I say a problem, the defendant wants to have some issue heard and they're sitting in an adult jail, prison. Do they go back to juvenile court to resolve whatever their issue is?
That's exactly what we're trying to get to the root of, the heart of today. This is a case, and any other case like this should go to the juvenile court. To at that point, if there is
and
a
that's
problem,
what the, that's what the statute says.
It doesn't specifically address this.
Where
issue.
Do we find the authority to do that?
For having the juvenile court
retain jurisdiction for someone past 21 on the adult portion of an SYO sentence.
There's no, because there isn't any, there's no indication in the statute.
Your research hasn't come up with anything that vests the juvenile court with jurisdiction.
That indicates
for a
that it should immediately be transferred to the adult court.
Pardon me. Your research hasn't come up with any citation for the juvenile court to obtain jurisdiction over a person beyond the age of 21.
Other than the fact of them being able to impose an adult sentence that extends beyond that birthday, no.
Thank you.
I see that my time has expired. The state is asking that these juvenile court proceedings not be transformed to full-blown adult jury trials. We are asking that this court find the statute to be constitutionally sound and preserve the serious youthful offender blended sentences in the state of Ohio. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Sweeney, you have used well over your time. I'll give you a minute.
Okay.
Where's this client right now?
He has been, well, he's in Cuyahoga County Jail on a new case, as a matter of fact. But he's out of prison on the old case.
So he did his adult portion.
Did his adult portion. He was on post-release control. Just setting that aside.
On post-release control. No, don't answer.
The voidness issue, just to be clear, from that eighth district case, on page, not just page 2, but page 7.
7, yeah.
The court cites Simpkins and Bezac and says it's as if the proceedings never occurred.
Mm-hmm. And that was the law at the time the eighth district rendered that opinion. We
correct.
Hadn't distinguished and overruled any of those cases.
Correct. And at that time, when it went back to juvenile court, it's clear, too, that at that proceeding, the judge did everything. We used the words de novo, and that's what the judge did. So it's not as if it was directed to be remanded just for post-release control, nor is it that what the juvenile court did.
Well, counsel, and I was looking at 7 and 8. They said given Singleton and the new statute, the only thing that was to be done was the imposition of this. So their definition of they sort of relaxed their own earlier definition of void.
In the second.
Is it possible that the outcome for this specific case is that the juvenile court was without authority to do what they told the juvenile court to do, and that is to tack on post-release control, but the rest of the sentence was not void?
I think post-Fisher, that's a true statement. For cases that resolved pre-Fisher, where the sentence was, in fact, declared void, that's not the outcome. But post-Fisher, now we know from this court that the absence of PRC does not render the entire sentence void. So going forward, the juvenile court would not have to revisit the entire sentence. The only issue would be if the state wanted the juvenile to be on post-release control to ensure that the juvenile court impose it prior to the age of 21. And in fact, in this case, the juvenile court had three opportunities to do that and never did. And just lastly, with respect to the serious youthful offender statute, I just want to say that when you look at this case and you take a step back, the fact of the matter is that a juvenile, unlike an adult, is serving an adult prison sentence based on judicial fact-finding, a fact that he committed future misconduct, which is essential to receiving that adult prison sentence.
Are you saying that's a violation of Apprendi or Blakely?
Yes.
That's your view?
It's my view. Yes.
In the criminal cases, the defense bar asked for a fix on Apprendi and such and got Foster.
Mm-hmm.
And so all these protections for the defendant that were mandatory on a judge all became discretionary, which to me was a terrible outcome for defendants. Now you're saying these same sort of things are suspect because of Apprendi, and we should get rid of the SYO and go back to bindovers, which is a terrible outcome for youth. What are you trying to accomplish with these challenges?
Well, what I'm trying to ensure is that for JV and for other juveniles like him, that if the state is going to establish a system, an alternative, that it comport with the Constitution. To me, the choice is not between an imperfect SYO statute and none at all. The General Assembly, if they think that this system is working well, enacts one that is constitutional. That is what we're seeking, not to get rid of this so that juveniles don't have the benefit of this, but that when they are sitting in a juvenile facility, and I think it should bear in mind that...
And did you accomplish that when you got your Foster fix?
Well, eventually, because the legislature enacted House Bill 86, which addressed a lot of those issues.
There's nothing to suggest they'll do anything. If we declare it unconstitutional, you could be left with all bindovers.
The prosecutor
says that's not a desirable outcome.
We could, but I think you also have to bear in mind that, well, number one, it still ultimately has to be constitutional. So the choice isn't, is it a good policy decision? The question is it constitutional or not?
But
secondly, as it stands now, most of these individuals that are SYO offenders, JV's not an example of that, but primarily they're individuals that are discretionary bindovers.
So you're arguing that this violates Blakely and Apprendi and Ring and that line of cases, And you're also arguing that the juvenile court doesn't have jurisdiction for individuals over the age of 21?
Or yes. Both those issues.
Both of those.
Yes. And the second
anything,
one.
Anything beyond that?
Not today, but I'm sure I'll be back.
But Mr. Sweeney, the fact that there's a jury trial in the SYO system, I mean, I think your argument would be much stronger if there was no jury involved in this process. But the jury possibility is there for the adjudication.
It is, but the juvenile cannot go to adult prison based simply on that initial adjudication. It takes two things. It takes the original misconduct and future misconduct. In both cases, those are jury determinations. It takes both things to send them to adult prison.
But the same thing with a community control sentence. A conviction after a jury trial in adult court could eventually lead to the imposition of the prison time that's suspended on a community control, and there's no jury determination needed for that.
Well, the difference is in that circumstance, the trial court could immediately send that adult to prison. It chose not to and exercised its discretion to send them, put them on probation, but the jury verdict authorized prison at that time. Nothing more was required.
But if you liken it to PRC, the judge in the original case could not sentence them to PRC, could not revoke and say you're going to serve your 5 years. It has to depend on another infraction. And there's no jury for that second infraction.
But again, the distinction there is that that is an adult. The person has received their original punishment. PRC is a part of the punishment for the original crime.
But the judge could never invoke it until a future infraction, just like a judge in a juvenile case can't invoke this adult portion until there's a future infraction, which is only a hearing on both cases.
In that sense, they are similar. But how they are different is that the juvenile is in juvenile court. It's that future infraction that moves them to an adult prison sentence, to an adult conviction. It's actually, in a sense, an essential element of an adult criminal conviction. And an essential element of adult criminal convictions have to be proven beyond a reasonable doubt.
Well, counsel, one of the questions that I asked Ms. Sobieski was, once the adult portion is invoked and the defendant is in the institution, what court has jurisdiction over that defendant?
In my view, it would have to be the adult court, because absent a statutory grant of jurisdiction from the General Assembly to the juvenile court, it does not have any jurisdiction of someone over the age of 21.
What court would invoke the sanctions for the violation of the post-release control?
It would have to be usually, you know, PRC determinations are made by the APA, but to the extent that there was an issue that needed
to be... By the adult parole authority.
Right.
Okay.
And I think it's important to note that, yes, the juvenile court imposes a sentence that could have consequences beyond the age of 21, but the statute clearly provides that the juvenile sentence is terminated and the child is transferred to adult custody, and you can only invoke that. The motion to invoke can only be filed while he's serving a juvenile disposition, and it can only be invoked by the court while he's serving a juvenile disposition. I think the statute is
clear. So are you advocating that every juvenile court who has an adult SYO at the age of 21 bind those over to the common pleas court of that jurisdiction so that they get to the adult court on the 21st birthday of those individuals who are subject to SYO?
No, at the 21st birthday, if the juvenile is successful and the sentence has not been invoked, that's it. The adult sentence goes away.
I understand
if
that,
it has
but
not
you just
been...
answered to the chief's question that the adult court has jurisdiction for those over the age of 21.
Post-invocation sentencing issues is what I'm saying. So the juvenile court, if it chooses to invoke a sentence prior to the age of 21, it has the authority to do that.
I understand, but when the juvenile reaches the age of 21 on that individual's 21st
yes,
birthday...
and they're in prison.
Regardless of where they are.
Okay.
The juvenile court, in your view, has no jurisdiction over that person
That's
any longer.
Correct. That's correct.
So then, in your view, since the adult court has authority over those persons, every juvenile court judge in Ohio, on the 21st birthday of anyone subject to SYO, should bind those over to the common pleas court so that we have a court that can adjudicate any infractions. Am I right or wrong?
That's not what I meant, and I don't believe
that. How do we get the cases to the adult court?
You don't need to get to the only issue that I can contemplate arising in a post-sentencing issue would be like a judicial release motion.
Or like this case.
Well, this case is a situation where there was a flaw in the original sentence that can only be imposed by a juvenile court and can only be imposed by a juvenile court before the age of 21.
You'd like all these people who reach the age of 21 to be dismissed.
You mean where their adult sentence has been invoked?
I mean, I guess I'm asking you, what are you asking for?
What I'm saying is if an adult sentence, well, first of all, I'm arguing the statute's unconstitutional. But secondly, if the adult sentence is improperly invoked and it's pre-Fisher and the sentence is void and it's not fixed before the juvenile turns 21, then yes, that sentence is invalid.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We will take the matter under advisement, and you'll be notified of our decision.